Now, bronchodilators, do they fix the underlying disease of asthma, or do they just treat the symptoms? Just treat the symptoms. Steroids, are they going to treat the underlying disease? Yes, because the underlying disease is ultimately an inflammatory problem. Well, they will treat the symptoms by treating the disease. Right. They don't treat the symptoms directly. They treat the cause of the disease. Same thing for COPD. They treat the disease process. All right. Glucocorticoids. Decrease release of inflammatory mediators. Decrease infiltration and action of white blood cells. Decrease airway edema. Decrease airway mucus production. Now, here's the kind of cool part. They increase the number of beta-2 receptors, and they also increase the sensitivity of beta-2 receptors. What does that mean? So it means our beta-2 agonists are going to work better. Now, that's a very important thing because overuse of beta agonists causes decreased numbers of receptors and decreased sensitivity of those receptors. So every time in Goonies, where you know, toward the end of the movie, he's using that inhaler an awful lot. Well, the reason for that is because his receptors are becoming less and less sensitive over time. So his inhaler is working less and less. But now, we put little Sean Astin on a steroid, and it raises his sensitivity to those medications. So in addition to decreasing the inflammation, it also increases how well the beta agonists work. If we give them systemically, like orally, we're going to have a stronger anti-inflammatory effect, but we will also have more side effects. Now, the other nice thing about giving them orally is that their action is unaffected by lung function. So let's imagine for a moment that you had a drug you wanted to get into the lung by breathing it in. If that patient is really bronchoconstricted, how much drug is going to get down to the lung? Not enough drug. So in a really, really bad patient, we're going to bypass that altogether and give it directly to the blood, well, to the mouth. It'll be absorbed into the blood and travel to the lung that way. Inhaled is better because we have localized action. It doesn't affect everywhere. You're going to have less osteoporosis, less muscle wasting, less fat redistribution, less cataracts. All good things, right? But if the disease is severe, it might not get down to where it needs to act. So that's the trade-off between the two. The inhaled ones, local action, fewer side effects, but the drug might not get to the lung as well. Systemic is stronger, more side effects, but it's unaffected by lung action. All right, the two major side effects associated with inhaled steroids, hoarseness and candidiasis. Nasty stuff, huh? I mean, your inhaler gives you thrush. Is that good? No. So how do we prevent that? SNS and SNS. Swish and spit, swish and swallow. So after the person takes their inhaler, they're going to take a glass of water, gargle, and then spit it out. Then they're going to take another glass of water, gargle, and swallow it. That way there's nothing left inside their esophagus or mouth. They're less likely to become hoarse and less likely to get candidiasis. Oh yeah, there's a missing S there. Dysphonia is hoarseness. Dys meaning bad, phonia, speech. Or I guess it means you suddenly speak Ebonics. Or maybe you suddenly stutter. No, what it means is hoarseness. General, adrenal suppression. We talked about all these before. Adrenal suppression, bone loss, slow growth in children. This one still sometimes happens even with the inhaled version. So a person doesn't grow as quickly, but they'll still ultimately get to their projected height. It just takes them longer to get there. So they will be small for age. Peptic ulcer disease and increased risk of cataract. All of these are lessened by taking them by inhalation. All right. inhaled corticosteroids. There's several different ones. The only one we want you to remember is fluticasone. Fluticasone is available by itself in a formulation called Flovent. It's also available in combination with albuterol in something called Advair. You can also get it. Salmeterol, you're right. Yeah, salmeterol. It's also available in a nasal preparation called Flonase, and you can use it for allergies. Anyone here on Flonase or another steroid for nose stuff? No?
Rhinocort.
Okay. Rhinocort is triamcinolone. No, I'm sorry, that's not right. It's budesonide. Yeah. It's been so long since I've prescribed all these things now. My little mind is old and decrepit. All right. Again, just so you remember, here's a normal bronchus, nice, big, and open, no edema, very little mucus, just enough mucus to make the mucociliary escalator work. Over here, we've got the asthma bronchi. It's constricted, so the whole thing is smaller, and then it's also got edema, and then there's also mucus. And Advair works by inhibiting the process that leads to this, as well as inhibiting those symptoms themselves, because it's got the steroid and it's got the salmeterol. And this is marketing material from Advair. That's why it's purple. All right, mast cell stabilizers. Our next class. Cromolyn is the major drug here. What they do is they stabilize mast cells so they're less likely to degranulate. If they're less likely to degranulate, you're going to have less histamine release, less inflammation. They do not work very well. And you have to take them 4 to 6 times a day. As a result, hardly anyone ever uses them. You can get them over the counter, and we'll leave it at that. Oh, one last thing. You can also use this for exercise-induced asthma to prevent it. So you take it before you exercise, and it can sometimes prevent exercise-induced asthma. All right, last one, leukotriene inhibitors. Leukotriene inhibitors are drugs that inhibit leukotrienes. What is a leukotriene? Say again? Okay, it has to do with white blood cells. Okay, leuko, yeah. Now, where do prostaglandins come from? What? Arachidonic acid. So, arachidonic acid, if you give it an enzyme called cyclooxygenase, produces prostaglandins. If you give it a different enzyme, it will produce leukotrienes. Leukotrienes are inflammatory mediators that are highly associated with lung function. So there's two different approaches to inhibiting them. We can inhibit leukotriene synthesis, or we can just inhibit leukotriene receptors. The major drug is montelukast, or Singulair. And you've probably seen commercials for this on TV. It also works somewhat for allergies, but really it's mostly a asthma medication. Causes decreased inflammation, decreased bronchoconstriction, decreased edema, decreased mucus, and decreased recruitment of eosinophils. All right, now let's talk about the approach to treating our patient with asthma. Patients with mild intermittent, just get a rescue inhaler, PRN. That's beginning to change a little bit. There's some people are now saying that even if you're mild intermittent, even though you don't have symptoms all the time, you're still having inflammation, and we need to still stop the inflammation. So mild persistent, the next step is you add an anti-inflammatory. What's the anti-inflammatory of choice? An inhaled steroid. Because it does all of those things we talked about. Moderate persistent, you're going to increase the dose of anti-inflammatory, possibly add another one, and also add a long-acting beta-2 agonist. For severe, you're going to do either high-dose inhaled steroids or go to systemic steroids. COPD treatment is very similar to asthma, except that your anticholinergics are going to be the mainstay of your treatment. Every patient with COPD should be on an anticholinergic. And sometimes you will have to remind your physicians that that's the standard of care. And then oxygen in advanced disease.